invited, not invited, but it's someone's birthday, and you cannot for the life of you think what you can get them as a gift, because they're the kind of people that have everything. Hey, have you ever had that? They've got everything, I don't mean like they have stuff and bells and whistles, but they're content. They just have everything that they need. And I used to feel like that with my dad when I was a little picky growing up. My dad had, he was the kind of guy that if he wanted something, he would get it. You know, he would save up and he would do what he needed to do. So he had what he needed. And I could never, ever think of anything. But I remember the one year I made him a knife. It was made of Perspex because it was a letter opener. Young people, letter. It was a means of communication in the old days. Before and after the Rinderpest. And so, but yeah, I made my dad this letter opener. And he was so chuffed with it because I made it. And it went into his drawer. My dad never received post. My mom would handle that side of things. And so I saw an opportunity. And every year, for at least 4 years after that, I would go and fetch that knife out of his drawer. I'd scratch it out the back there somewhere. And I would just polish it up and wrap it again, and I'd give it to him every year. Yeah. And my dad was so gracious. He would like, thank you. This is amazing. Like, but I think he knew. I thought I hoodwinked him. I thought he'd forgotten that it just goes into his drawer. Maybe it was my way of punishing him for not actually using it or having it on his mantelpiece or in a place of importance in his life. But anyway, that was my dad. And I think God is the same with us. You know, it's like, what can we possibly give him? Because he has everything. And everything that we have comes from him. What can we possibly give? What do we have that we could give him? And I'm hoping that today, as we navigate, I want to take us as a congregation through that, through my thoughts. I can't stand here and say I've scripted a great sermon, but I really believe that what God is telling me in my quiet time is for all of us. And I feel that God has been taking us on a journey for quite some time now, especially in terms of casting stuff aside and taking baggage and the things that weigh us down and putting them aside and looking at each other as brothers and sisters and walking in the light. And as we walk in the light and we bring things into the light, that the blood of Jesus washes that clean. And Benny just brought such a beautiful picture to us last week in terms of the blood of Jesus. It's a beautiful thing. So I'm hoping to take us through today just a bit of a roadmap that every single thing that we have comes from his hand. And everything that he expects us to give back to him comes from him as well, and the means to do that. And as we start understanding the motive for us wanting to give back and to surrender to him is because he's given everything to us. And I'm hoping to help us to understand that he wants us to consecrate, in response to that, to consecrate ourselves to him. And we'll talk about what that means and some of the things that come into that picture, you know. So, yeah, it's as simple and straightforward as that. So, Lord, I pray that today you would be magnified, Lord. That as we come to you as sons and daughters of a king, that we can look to you as a father who is kind, a father who gives, and a father who's wired us to receive. And thank you, Lord, that we can do so with such grateful hearts, that we can experience a joy because everything that we need comes from you. And you even give us the ability to give back to you, Lord. And so we want to declare our love to you and for you. And as a family, Lord, we want to stand shoulder to shoulder and say, we love you, Lord. We want to lift you on high. We want you to receive the honor and glory. Thank you, Jesus, for the price that you've paid. Thank you, Jesus, that you set us free, that you turned the wrath of God away from us and to you, so that we could be set free. Thank you, Lord, that we live as free children. In Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. Listen to these words from David. Such a beautiful scripture in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. Ah, there we go. I only realized after, like, last week that we had a screen there. It's like, okay. All right. I thought Benny knew scripture off by heart, and I'm not. Anyway. And so he says, David says this. He says, but who am I? And he was standing with his people who had gathered to give. And he says, who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. And of your own we have given you. What a beautiful thing. I mean, David just recognized that, Lord, we've got all this stuff to give you. Look, he wasn't proud and almost arrogant to say, Lord, look what we're giving you. This is what we've gathered, our best furniture, gold and silver, and we're giving this to you, Lord. It was actually the opposite. Instead, he was saying, look what we've done. And we recognize that everything that we've put out for you, that we've separated unto you, comes from you. It was such a humbling moment for him. And he was saying, how is it even possible? He couldn't comprehend that what he was giving back to God actually came from God in the first place. Everything comes from him. Everything comes from him. Such a beautiful revelation that everything comes from his hand. Not some things. Not spiritual things only. Everything comes from him. Our lives, our breath, our strength, our opportunities, even our salvation comes from his hand. We'll talk a little bit about that just now. Andrew Murray, I love his writing and teaching. He says, in experiencing a deeper Christian life, he puts it so simply. He says, God owns everything, we receive everything, and we give back what already belongs to him. It's like so straightforward. And then he goes on to say this. He says, no tree can grow except from the root from which it sprang. Through all its existence, it can only live with the life that was in the seed that gave it being. It's just so, that's us. Everything, every fiber of our being can only come from the one in who we are planted and who he gave birth to. Sometimes I think some of us act pretty self-made. It's like the Lord gives us a brain. He gives us oxygen to breathe. He gives us opportunities. And we're like so thankful. And then we're like, nah, Lord, I got this. I'm cool, thanks. I got it from here. Does it sound familiar? We start relying on our own strength. I think we do that a lot. I do. Thanks, Lord. I'll take it from here. I remember a little while ago, one of my colleagues and I went to a guy in Georgia that does pottery. And he gave us everything that we needed, from the apron to the water to the sponge to the clay. And he had the machine that turns it. He explained very nicely how to do this thing. And I was doing really well. He showed me how to do it, and his hands were on my hand. And Tabiso, who was sitting next to me, he was doing his thing. Mine was way better. And as I turned to his to tell him that mine was way better, it just went boom, and it like flopped into itself. It's amazing how I couldn't do that thing. I got everything to do what I needed to do, and yet I found somehow to be proud in that thing. Like, look what I did. Look what you didn't. We know how that works out. Galatians 3, from 1 to 5-ish. I'm not reading the whole thing. Paul is, I think he just got to the end of his tether, and he says, "Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" And then he goes on a little bit further. He says, "Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" It's like you were doing so well. You started in the Spirit, and you had this smug attitude like, "I've got this. This is me. This is me we're talking about." We are completely dependent on Him. Completely dependent on Him. We don't graduate from dependence. Not when we're old. Not when we know everything. Not when we're wise. We just don't graduate from that. We're always dependent on Him. Colossians 2, verse 6 to 7 says this. "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." And so all this is saying is it's in Him. And a little bit further on, he goes in verse 19, he says, "Hold fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God." And so while he's working on every single one of us, and he's speaking to each one of us directly, there's something of as a community, when all of those pieces together are listening and hearing, he's touching different places in each of us, but together as a community, it's Him that grows us. It's Him that packs us very closely together as living stones, and it's Him that builds His church. And He adds to the numbers daily, and He builds His church. That's why Jesus said to Peter, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." It's me that does the building, but I know what I'm building. I have a picture of that. And for the structure to be sound, with Christ as the cornerstone, I want each and every person to be hearing me, because there are things that I want to touch on. There are things that I want to jimmy a little bit. The word jimmy, I haven't used it for a long time. I'm distracting myself now. You wouldn't have seen, but Marius was doing the jig at one stage tonight. He comes to each of us in a different way. And He touches us in a different way. And the Holy Spirit reveals things to each of us in a different way. For where we are at the time. And when we, together as a body, He sees something beautiful that emerges from that. So we are completely dependent on Him. It just means in the same way that we started, the same way we'll continue. We started by faith and we'll continue by faith. We started by dependence and we'll grow by dependence. We don't graduate from needing God. And I love the way John 15 just describes. He gives us this beautiful picture of the branches and the vine, and that He is the vine. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. All you need to do is to abide in me. Stay connected to me. Angepluk. And I will do the rest. Because without you, you will not bear fruit. Without me, you will not bear fruit." It's as simple as it is. If you're not plugged into me, you will not bear fruit. Oh, but we bear fruit on our own, eh? And it's that fruit that makes us look good. Look what I did. I remember quite some time ago, Jackson and I, maybe going back 20 years, we hit some financial struggles. I made quite a serious error in our business, and we literally lost the business. We hung on to a few things, but wow, we walked a road of struggle for quite a few years. And the Lord revealed so many things to us in this, and it wasn't just our finances. He taught us that that we are absolutely dependent on Him for our finances, that He is our provider. Don't come and think you're your provider with your clever plans and your business deals and all that kind of thing. I'm your provider. But it wasn't just finance. As He began to work in our hearts around our finances, it started emerging that in everything we needed Him. In everything, in every aspect of our lives. In our marriage, in our parenting, in our time, in our talents, in our gifts, everything. He wanted us to give to Him because we depend on Him. And the only way anything would ever work was if we realized that we depended on Him. And actually, the Bible says that there's nothing good that we can do on our own. But boy, when we surrender to Him and we're obedient to Him, God is so good and He's so kind. Even what we give back comes from Him. And this becomes, there are two parables, and I'm not going to actually read the parables. The one is in Matthew and the other one is Luke. And he speaks about, Jesus speaks about the parable of the talents and the miners. And it speaks about an important person, well-to-do person, who's going on a trip. And he says to his servants, one of the scriptures uses bond servants, which is slave, actually. He says, I'm going away and I'm going to give you. In the one, he says, he gives them all an equal amount, but the other one he gives different amounts. And he says, I'm coming back and then we'll see. And for some of them, they had multiplied what he'd given them. But some of them hadn't multiplied. They hadn't done anything. The one who had buried what he was given. And we're talking large sums of money. I think in today's terms, it probably would have been hundreds of thousands of rands that they were given. And they said to him, what you gave us, we have turned that into more. And in fact, the people that were given the miners, they actually got it right because they said, what you gave us has gained. Not I did this. Look what I did with what you gave me. He said, what you gave me has gained. It's such a beautiful thing. And the guy who left and came back and saw what they'd done, boy, he was so pleased. It did his heart such, it brought him such joy, and he rewarded them for that. And that's God's heart. He wants to give, and he wants to give over and above what we could ever, ever expect. Even the ability to grow comes from the Master. Even the ability to make things grow comes from Him. God gives the seed. God gives the soil. God gives the ability. And then He rewards the harvest. He rewards the harvest after He's given everything. I had this beautiful picture this afternoon just of Jack's baking with our grandkids, Ben and Eli. They're old enough to do these things now. Just this picture of Jack's in the kitchen, the two boys. She's given them everything. She lays everything out. The utensils, the flour, the water, the eggs, the butter, and whatever else. It's all there. The caster sugar. And she then shows them patiently what to do. Come here, let me show you. She's showing them. They can't do anything on their own. They're like, and they're boys as well. And she shows them patiently, and they make their little shapes, and they do their things, and they go into the oven, all excited. Look what we've made. And, oh, man, when those things come out, the little hands, when they've cooled down, Granny, I've got one for you. Here's what I'm giving to you. What a beautiful picture. And Granny's thinking, in fact, she's not even thinking, I gave you everything. I showed you how to do everything, and now you're giving me. It's a child who was given everything, the means, the tools, and everything. And they're like, Granny, look what I made. I've got this for you. What a beautiful thing when we do that with our Father. When He gives us everything. He wires us. In our mom's womb, He knits us together and He's got this picture of us. And we give back to Him. Boy, it brings joy to His heart. It's almost like a double blessing for Him. Because He loves to give. The heart of the Father is one to give. He's wired to give and we are wired to receive. And that's what He does. But when we give back to Him, oh boy, that heart just explodes with joy and pleasure. When those little hands, Granny, you can almost see the tears. But the converse is also true. So a few weeks ago, Jackson and I were at it's a place in Benoni. We were visiting our kids and we were with my daughter Amy and our grandson Ben was there. He's almost four, hey Jax? You have to check the ages and stuff. But Ben was there, and so he was playing. It's quite a nice place for kids. Anyway, he now comes and sits down. I bought the food, me, not his mother, not him out of his pocket money, me. I bought it. And the pizza comes, and he was sitting next to me, because I'm his favorite, of course. And he starts eating his pizza. Now, our pizza hadn't arrived yet. So I said, Ben, give Papa a piece of pizza, please. It's like, nope. He didn't even consider it. He didn't go like, yours is coming. Or he didn't bargain and negotiate. He didn't even look at me. He's just like, nah. Shoving it into his mouth. We had a laugh, eh? We laughed. I think they were laughing at me, actually. Like, you thought you were favorite. And I tried every trick in the book. I could not get him to part ways with that pizza. And you know what? Deep down, I felt a little bit like, oh, I wanted him to give it to me, you know. And listen, kids that age, they do that stuff. He's so generous as a little boy. But today, he's just like, sorry for you, bro. You're not getting nothing from my plate. And he chowed them, and then when he left, there was some left, and I ate it. I should have told him, look here, Ben. But we know what would have happened. So, yeah, these things don't only apply to our gifts and what we've been shown and what we've been given. I mean, it does. It applies to everything. But often we'll go to material things or gifts and that kind of stuff, things that we can see. But it also applies to our salvation. In fact, it applies more than anything to our salvation. I want to read this scripture in Romans 3. And if you guys can just stick with me, there's some big words in here, but we'll go through them. Romans 3, verse 23 to about 25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. I'm from Springs. I don't even have a university like matric. So when I read this stuff, it's wow. But it's actually so, because there are words in here that are hard to understand sometimes. But if we just get to the heart of the Lord and what He's saying and what these things mean, it's so beautiful. And Paul, as he's writing to the Romans, he's speaking about the fact that we have all sinned. And by the time he'd got to Romans 3, he'd laid it on thick about what we look like with sin. And he quotes Psalms. It's a terrible picture. I mean, the bad news in this case is bad. And then he goes on to say that we've all sinned. Every single one of us, and we fall short, without a doubt. We fall short of the glory of God. But then he says, and are justified by His grace as a gift. So the word justified means that when He looks at us through the lens of the blood of Jesus, it's just as if I'd never sinned. That word justified. It's a cool way to remember it. I and you, for those of us who have surrendered our lives to Jesus and made Him Lord, We have been justified. And it's a once-off. We make a choice, we accept Christ, and we are justified. And because of the blood that Jesus shed, God sees us through that lens. And he sees us as if we'd never sinned. He sees us as righteous. What an incredible thing. We can't achieve righteousness on our own. Look at us. I almost want to say look around, but I won't do that. Because maybe you'll go, ooh, yeah. But it's, I mean, we're all worse than the next one, actually. So just two words that I want to dig into quickly. The one is redemption, and the definition of redemption, this is the definition, is the act of buying back or setting free a person from bondage, a term specifically used in the ancient world regarding to the purchase of a slave's freedom. So in the ancient world, slaves existed and masters would pay for slaves. But then you would have somebody that would put a price down and pay for a slave so that they could be set free. So it's like, I'm putting the money down for you, and now, because that person is no longer your master, you're set free. Off you go, in freedom. What a beautiful thing when a slave is set free. And what the scripture is saying is that we are slaves to sin. And because we are slaves to sin, we're in bondage. And the focus on this is the price that was paid. And the price that was paid was the life of Jesus. The wages of sin is death. And the judge says that there will be death because you are found guilty. But Jesus paid the price with his life. What a beautiful thing, so that we could be set free. So we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus.